I believe that God wants you to remain encouraged. Remain encouraged. One of the things about encouragement, though, is sometimes we look for it from external sources, and it's just not there. Right now, a whole lot of folk are going through a whole lot of things. And therein also lies the blessing, if you will, of being able to connect with folk, connect with people. This past Wednesday, one of the thoughts that I shared was the danger of doing you without Christ. The danger of doing you without the body of Christ. And it doesn't take a lot of insight or revelation to look at the places, the conditions of where things are right now, and recognize that we've got to keep ourselves encouraged. We've got to keep ourselves encouraged. And for many, we have to do like David did when he came back to Ziklag and everything was burnt up and families had been taken hostage. David's own men couldn't encourage him because they were despondent and in despair as well. But it says this about David. He pulled away and he encouraged himself in the Lord. Say, encouraged himself in the Lord. I want to talk to you a few moments about encouraging yourself in the Lord. I want you to recognize that when I talk about encouraging yourself in the Lord, it doesn't happen, Georgia, except that you've matured in God. You've matured in a way that you can look past circumstances and situations. And you can encourage yourself by reminding yourself that while you may be in yet another situation, God, the same God that brought you through the last situation, can bring you through the situation you find yourself in right now. But it takes a mature believer. It takes one who is not just living out of a Christian space where God delivers you out of something and you thank him and you move on, but you don't take note of that. See, part of the challenge that we can often have is we don't take note of, we don't kind of make a memorial around that experience, that challenge that God brought us through. It can be a health challenge. How many of you in here have had a health challenge and God brought you through it? Amen. So out of all those hands, there ought to be faith in here for healing for those who are dealing with anything going on physically. I've been through something. It's kind of like that commercial. I know a thing or two because I've seen a thing or two. Okay? I know a thing or two because I've been through a thing or two. And I've chosen not to just go through it. And I want to say to you, if you're watching, you want to be sensitive that even as you're going through it, God, what do you want me to get out of this? What are you wanting me to learn from this? How do you want me to grow from this? I don't want to just go through this and have an escapism mentality. Beam me up, get me out of this situation. And then once I'm out of the situation, I really didn't get out of it what I could have gotten out of it. I didn't benefit from it the way that God intended for me to benefit from it. And so David was one of those who lived in that place where as he went through these things, he made note of it. That's why when he was a young boy and he was stepping out into that valley with the giant, with Goliath, and the king said, you're too small, you're too young. Now, all of a sudden, he's in his Google search, if you will, of God's faithfulness in his life. How many of you know you got a Google search? It's called a hippocampus. There's some things going on that you ought to be able to link back into. And all of a sudden, when something happens over here, oh, that reminds me of God's faithfulness over here. And so when I look at this situation, David, as a young boy, is saying, hey, he delivered me from a lion. He delivered me from a bear. And I think the same God that did those things can handle this giant as well. So he learned how to benefit from the things that he went through. I want to say to you, you can benefit. You should have and still can benefit from the things that you've been through. Maybe for some, it's just really stepping back and saying, Holy Spirit, when I went through that situation, I didn't really understand it. But I need you to help me to get out of it what I could have got out of it if I had any sense of what was going on when it was going on. because I really don't want to live my life out of a space that is just, God got me through this and I went on and then God got me through this. I need to have some sense of it's all adding up to something greater. It's adding up to something bigger. It's adding up to something more glorious. And so David was able to encourage himself. But that came out of a mature place in God. It came out of his sensitivity to the things of God. All of us are prone to disappointment. All of us are prone to regret. All of us are prone to depression. We're prone to oppression. We're prone to those things because we live in a human frame and we live in a human body. But I tell you, by the power of God, you can do something about it. And God's uniquely designed the body so that we can encourage one another. But there will be, and there has been times when nobody knows what to say to you. And that's when you must be in the kind of relationship with God that you can encourage yourself in God. It comes out of a mature place, though. And so David, in 1 Samuel 30, he encourages himself. He encourages himself. He pulls away. He encourages himself in the Lord. I believe he goes through this Rolodex, if you will, this Google search, if you will, Holy Ghost helping him to understand God has been faithful to you. God has been faithful to you. God has been faithful to you. God is faithful to you. See, that's where you want to land. God has been faithful. God has been faithful. God is faithful. He is faithful. He is faithful. David's the psalmist that wrote, I was young and now I'm old and I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. That's the same guy. He's speaking out of that place of maturity. And so what we see in that particular scenario in that passage of scripture is that when all of his men wanted to kill him, he got off to himself. He said, it's not over. I just need to get somewhere. I need to get still. I need to hear from God on this matter. And that's exactly what he did. He encouraged himself in the Lord, and then he said, bring me the priestly garment, the ephod. The priestly garment, it was like a vest that went over the top of him, had 12 stones in it, one representing each of the tribes. And he prayed, and he just asked a simple question, shall I pursue? I love that. Shall I pursue? When it comes to encouraging ourselves and encouraging ourselves in the Lord, sometimes it doesn't take a lot of questions. It doesn't take a lot of words. David just said, shall I pursue? And word came back, pursue, for you shall recover all. You will recover all. That's all he needed to hear. But he was in the place to hear. And for some of you here in the room and maybe watching, you may be in that place where you're really trying to hear. And I believe God's going to help you with that. The Holy Spirit's going to help you with that. It's in the book of Romans where Paul is addressing all the various issues that they're navigating through as the church is now growing and the church is now maturing. So he's dealing with them and he's talking with them about grace. He's helping them to know that grace isn't a license to sin. He's helping them to know that while we are saved, we still have a nature that we have to navigate through. This body, this flesh. And so he's talking to them about how to live this life, not in condemnation, because in Christ there is no condemnation. And you have to know that. In the Holy Spirit, there can be conviction, but there's not condemnation. And so what we see is Paul then begins to write, and he helps them to recognize something about themselves and something greater about God. And more specifically, God's love for us, God's plan and purpose for us. So for a few moments here, I want to read here, and I'm starting in Romans, the 8th chapter, and let's start at verse 12. Romans 8, verse 12. It says, so then, brethren, we are under obligation, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. And then he says this, for all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Say mature ones. Come on, say mature ones. It says, for you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him in order that we may be glorified together. We are heirs of God. We are joint heirs with Christ. There is a process that we walk through. As heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, as fellow heirs with Christ, it says, if indeed we suffer with him in order that we may be glorified with him. Say, there is always a price in advancement. There is always a price. And then he says this, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us, in us. For the anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. Say the mature ones. Come on, say the mature ones. And then it goes on and says this, for the creation was subject to futility, not of its own will, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself also will be free from its slavery to corruption and to the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. And not only this, but also we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of the body. For in hope we have been saved. But hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one also hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance, we wait eagerly for it. Paul is addressing here part of the violent attack on the body of Christ. He's helping them to understand that we are yet paying a price, even while hoping for the fulfillment of the redemptive work of Calvary in its completeness. So often we can find ourselves and we're walking along and we're navigating through things and we're challenged by the fact that even saved, we're still dealing with stuff. But this is where God requires of you and I to step into places of maturity. Because what Paul is addressing is the weakness that they're beginning to feel from the oppression of Rome and oppression of the religious system, that now the church is being birthed up in the midst of all of it. This wasn't a once kind of activity. So even now, the church, I'm talking about the ecclesia, the true church, we are finding ourselves coming to grips with the fact that we are still yet in the midst of religious systems. And yet God is raising his church up. If you wonder why you feel any sense of resistance as you continue to press into the true and the authentic things of God. That's why. It would be easy to just come, have church, take offering, God bless you, go home. But when you press into a desire for the presence, the tangible presence of God, where miracles happen, where miracles happen, where lives change, transformed, that takes work. And it takes a level of maturity to keep going. So Paul goes on and he says this in verse 26. And in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we should. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he searches the hearts. He searches the hearts, knows what is the mind, knows the mind of the Spirit is, what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. According to the will of God. What do we have working for us when we talk about encouraging ourselves in the Lord? You have the Holy Ghost. You have the Holy Ghost. You have the Holy Spirit. And so when you can't find the words in the natural, all you got to do is open your mouth and say, Holy Ghost, I need help. And he says, I got you. I'm getting this visual, it's a movie series that just came out. I'm going to tell you the name because I don't want you to look for it. I just want to tell you this scene in it that really was quite powerful. It's this person that has this power working in him, but he doesn't really know what it is. All he knows is there's these enemies after him. And he doesn't know why, but the voice keeps talking to him and saying, let me take over. Let me handle this. And then there's one scene where the guy is about to be killed by this creature. And this voice says, just let go. Let me handle this. You're about to get us both killed. And then all of a sudden, you see the guy just kind of surrender. And then the next scene you see is the creature's killed. And the guy is standing there wondering what happened. Now, I know that may be a little abstract for you, but here's my point with that. When it says this here, he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. According to the will of God. How many of you know that you and I, at best, we only pray in part? Bible says we only see in part, we only know in part, and our minds can only go so far. But the Holy Spirit knows it all. And when I tell you that we're in a season where we must encourage ourselves in the Lord, and I'm going to tell you that we can attaboy and pat one another on the back all day long, but where we're going to find the real faith, where we're going to find the real power, is when we begin to get on our faces, we begin to get on our knees, and we begin to cry out in the Holy Spirit. We begin to allow Holy Spirit to have preeminence. That we can get okay with a reba satabo kudra moshate le se kosha nambro sila be shekidra mundo se la sucrete lobo shete nandro be de anda shire bo shekete ye. Now, in the natural, except for interpretation, you may not know what it is you're really praying. But out of that place of faith and believing what this word says right here, where it says that the Spirit prays makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God, I, by faith, know that I am praying the perfect will of God. And there's something about that kind of prayer that causes you to get up with a little bit more expectation than you had maybe before you moved into that place. I'm talking about encouraging ourselves. You need to be able to press into that place. Knowledge is a good thing, for the most part. But knowledge in and of itself, information in and of itself, doesn't always get it done. But Paul, in his writing here, he's making it clear. He's saying, I need you to recognize, God wants us to recognize, I see you, I know you, I know the challenges that you're going through, but I want you to recognize, and I want you to be confident in that all things, I am causing all things to work together for your good. Paul, when he writes, he's helping them to recognize, listen, we're all challenged. We're going through things. That's why earlier when he says, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory to be revealed in us, through us. He's saying, yeah, those challenges, they're here. We're dealing with it. But you must know this. Creation is looking for the true manifestation of the sons of God, daughters of God, the mature ones, not church, not religion. Not theology, not doctrine. They're looking for the kingdom. They're looking for the demonstration of the kingdom of God. And you and I must recognize that as we are on this quest to be a part of the manifestation of the kingdom of God, it's not going to come without price. It's not going to come without a weight and a responsibility. So Paul goes on and he writes, he says, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and are the called according to his purpose. Can you believe? Do you believe that God is causing everything in your life to work for your good? Now, don't say it too fast. I'm not talking to you, sister. I'm just saying. Don't say it too fast. It is. Paul says, and we know that. That is the qualifier right there. He didn't say, and we think. He didn't say, it might be a possibility. He says, and we know that all things, that ought to bring about encouragement right there. No matter what it is, no matter how challenging it's been, if you, in your relationship with God, and you know that God loves you, that God cares for you, that his eye is on you, that his intent for you is good and not evil, then by God's grace, you and I have to be able to fix our mouths and say, God, I don't understand it. I don't like it. But I know you're going to cause it to work for my good and for your glory. And so I will praise you. I will praise you. I will praise you. I will to praise you. I will to praise you. That means I'm going to make myself, even though my emotions are not there, even though my mind is not there, I'm going to dig down deep on the inside. I'm going to remind myself of your faithfulness down through the years, and I am going to will to praise you. When David said, I want someone to magnify the Lord with me. Help me exalt his name. Together. We have a gift on the inside of us who knows how to pray the will of God. That's why it's good to have a discipline of prayer. It's good to have a disciplined prayer life, that no matter where you are, you're praying in the Spirit. I learned that discipline as a young believer. I had the opportunity to be with a gentleman who was my pastor in a season of my life where I was ordained in ministry. And I'll never forget, I was asked to drive him. He asked me to drive him down to North Carolina. It was the first time I'd ever gone down there on a trip. He was going down there for a family member that had passed away, and he was going down to do the service and ask if I would drive him. And North Carolina, I don't know, what is that, about maybe 7 hours or so, depending on where you're going in North Carolina. And I am not exaggerating. From the time we left Columbus, 80% of that drive, he prayed in the Holy Ghost. I'm driving like, okay, I'm thinking there's going to be conversations, some bonding, you know. Well, then we got to where we were staying, and we were staying at a relative's house, and they said, you know, hey, you know, we have a room. You got, you know, do you mind sharing this room? No. So. We laid in the same bed. I'm like, in bed. I'm like, but I saw it modeled. I grabbed a hold of it. I made it a discipline in my own life. That whether I'm riding or whether I'm wherever I'm at. I love Pastor Kelwin's prayer life. Because we'll be talking, or we'll be, and he'll be talking, and all of a sudden he'll just go into tongues, come right on back out of it into the point. But what it speaks to is a place of constant communication, connection with God. The Holy Spirit intercedes according to the will of God. That ought to be a source of encouragement. When you know that you spend time praying in the Spirit, it's just your language. It's just part of you. It keeps you built up. That's what it talks about in Jude. Building yourself up, praying in the Holy Ghost. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Everybody's called. Everybody's called. Come on, say, everybody's called. Come on, say, I'm called. I may not be called to do what you do, but I'm called. We're all called. Every one of us are called. So we qualify right here. And it goes on and says this, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And whom he predestined, these he also called. And whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? What then shall we say to these things? Now, what things is he talking about? He's talking about all the things that are going on, not what he just said. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He's addressing the challenges that they're facing, and he's saying, we got to keep this straight. If God is for me, who is against me? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died, yes, rather, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Intercedes for us. I'm talking about encouraging ourselves. If you can't get encouraged over the fact that Jesus is interceding for you right now, come on, say, victory is assured. Come on, say, my victory is assured. This isn't grandma praying. This isn't grandpa praying. This isn't mommy or daddy praying. Jesus is praying, making intercession for you and I. This isn't a time to get down in the dumps and start feeling low and start feeling like just wanting to give up. No, you got to encourage yourself in God. Recognize that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is the same power that resides on the inside of you. Come on, very same power. Come on, say it. Very same power. Not an imitation, not some derivative. The very same power, the very same power that raised Christ from the dead lives on the inside of me. And Jesus is making intercession for me right now. I can't lose. I can't lose. You can't lose. The only way you come up short is you come up short. The only way you end up not fulfilling it is you stopped. Paul is writing here and he's saying, listen, yes, this is challenging. But you got to know what weighs in the balance. We are not like the rest of those around us. We are part of an unshakable kingdom. And it's just a matter of time before those that are looking, thinking that this thing is going to falter, this thing is going to fall like everything else, they're going to begin to recognize that the ecclesia is going nowhere. It's growing. It's expanding. It's taking over. And the key is that you remind yourself that you are an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ. Everything that Christ has is available to you and I. And as we grow in our maturity, the more we have access to it. I'm going to say that again. The more we grow in our maturity, the more you have access to it. The more you discipline your life, the more you have access to it. He is at the right hand of God making intercession for me. I just need to pause right there. I mean, I need my own moment. Because sometimes you feel like you're doing this by yourself. But I hear him saying, John, I got you. I didn't pull you here. I didn't bring you here. I didn't lead you here. And leave you alone. I got you. I receive it, Lord. I receive it, Lord. I receive it, Lord. Yes, Lord. He said, just keep your eyes on me. Keep your eyes on me. keep your ear close to my voice. Still all the other voices. Listen for my voice. I got you, son. I got you, daughter. I see what's going on. I know what's going on. I knew it would happen. And yet I've prepared you. I prayed for you before you arrived in this place. My prayer has already made a way for you. My intercession has already made a way for you. So walk in that confidence. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution? Famine, nakedness, peril, the sword. Just as it is written, for thy sake we are being put to death all day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. We are more than conquerors. And then he says this, for I am convinced. Are you convinced? Are you convinced? Not speculating, convinced. He says, I am convinced that neither death I've written some things in my Bible, so I'm trying to make sure I'm reading the right thing here. I'm sorry, just stay with me. Neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing. Think about that. Shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So my encouragement to us all this morning, my encouragement to you is your victory is assured. Nothing and no one can separate you from the love of God. No one, nothing. And even when you question his intentions, his love remains the same. You may be one that's watching and you've been in a place of disappointment. Because things just don't seem to have lined up the way that you thought they would. Don't allow the enemy to move you into a space that makes you believe that God is not for you. For when Paul writes and he says, and we know that all things work together for good to those that love God, he causes all things to work together for good to those that love God and called according to his purpose. Know that God is not reactive. Our God is not reactive. He's already laid it out. It's by our prayer, our submission, and our obedience that we walk in line with his will for our lives. And it's in that place where you find the grace and where you find the power. And where you will find the assurance that your victory is won. Come on, bless God.